We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Psalms 100. Good morning, everyone. The announcements are printed in your bulletin for the week. Does anybody have a special announcement?
Kim does.
Any other announcements?
Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to talk about and kind of review the report that Reverend George Estes did for us back in January. And he gave us some suggestions for our church, and we want to review them and see which ones we can incorporate into the life of the church. And so, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, if you'll be here. Now, I know this is not a, this is a Sunday morning church congregation, and it's hard for y'all to find time on Wednesday or any other time to make it to church, but I'm giving you a special invitation this Wednesday to come and review with me and over the suggestions that were made and kind of see what Reverend Estes said. Now, there is a copy of the report in the hallway in the education building. It's on that little table that's been there forever. If you'll pick that up, take it home and read it. There are other copies available if you run out. Just have to see me and I'll get you one before Wednesday. That's Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Okay, first time visitors?
Oh, that's Pat. My vision is going. Pat White is editor of our Cumberland Presbyterian, and she's been a friend since, what, 62 or 63 or something, and I almost didn't recognize her there. The vision is failing, isn't it? And so we welcome her, and she's here to worship with us today. Also, Charlie and Joyce have kinfolks with them. They've been here before, but we welcome them back. But Pat White is here the first time, and raise your hand, Pat, where they can see. Right, okay.
Okay, prayer and praise request. There are pew cards. If you would fill those out, if you'd like to make an announcement, we'll open it up. Any prayer or praise request?
We have on our prayer list folks traveling, but specifically my daughter Kate and son-in-law Aaron are leaving today for 4 weeks and backpacking around the world. I'm jealous, but also want to cover them with prayer.
Okay. Any others?
We got a couple here. What are you going to say? Family of Bill Johnson. Sandy Johnson's father passed away on Thursday. This bulletin was printed on Wednesday because Joyce and Steve were going out of town. And Bill Johnson passed away. The funeral was yesterday. So lift up Sandy and the family. Also, Melissa's brother, his Lydia Quindeau, passed away. And the funeral was last weekend. And Melissa and request special prayer for her brother. He lives out in Missouri. Also, Linda Marable had a rough day, a great Friday, and then a rough day yesterday. And they even did they think she was in a coma, but then late in the night she woke up ready to eat something. So down today. Okay. So lift up Linda, Mary Jo, and the rest of the family.
Any others? Just please bow your head. For
one more. Senior high camp meets this week at Camp Crystal Springs. Murfreesboro Columbia Presbyterian. Susan, Elizabeth, and Tommy from our church are working there. We have a number of children are going at 12:30. Jamie's going to drive them down. And then Susan is preaching at Santa Fe Church at 11 o'clock, so lift her up. And she was having trouble finding us. So maybe she'll get there. She's got an hour. No, not now, but she'll be there.
You really can't get there from here.
Okay, let's bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer, thanking especially of the ones mentioned this morning. Amen. The call to worship this morning is printed in your hymnal on 644. It is responsive. It is titled, The Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive,
because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be with you.
I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Now I go away to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But I tell you, where I am, there you will be.
But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away,
the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you.
And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Of sin, because they do not believe in me.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more.
Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you to all truth, for He will not speak
on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come.
He will glorify me, for me He will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that He will take them mine and declare them to you.
Let's all stand and sing hymn 262, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do come to You as people unholy who worship a holy God. And Father, we come to praise You for Your holiness, Your perfectness. And Father, we just come thanking You for blessing our lives and sending us Your Spirit to cleanse us. And Father, we know that in Your presence, in Your Spirit upon us, O Lord, You make us to be holy. Thank You. Thank You for letting us be Your people and You being our God. And thank You, Father, that You have revealed Yourself to us in the three ways as we understand it as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the name of that Son, Jesus, we come praying to You, even praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. On the next song, Sam's going to ask you to show your love for Jesus and sound your love for Jesus. So I'm warning you in advance, if you don't show it with your face and your voice, He'll call on you.
All righty. Tell me the story of Jesus. It's hard to say Jesus without smiling. Oh, am I on the wrong one? Yes, I am. 529. Same thing, though. It's hard to say Jesus without smiling.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Last verse.
He tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in His sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Can we pass? We pass all right. test coming up.
Okay. We express our faith in God, our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, 7:16 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Technology. We have a new toy. Yes. I remember the first time we got a microwave oven. I like to never got my wife to get a microwave oven. You know how long microwaves have been around? Does anybody know? 1955 was the first microwave oven. Well, I finally got my wife to get one about 1980. Oh, that thing doesn't work. That can't do what you say it does. Well, I'll tell you what, when that first one broke, how fast do you think I had to go to the store to get another one? I'm telling you, technology, I'm glad we can use it in our worship. Thank you, Gary. Hymn 172, first and third.
Tell me the story most precious.
Story time with Miss Andrea. Children, come down, please. And they will remain in the sanctuary today.
Thank you.
song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, speaks of right on our hearts every word. One of the ways that we tell the story of Jesus, and we tell it over and over, is through the sacrament of Holy Communion. This is the day that we celebrate that sacrament, an opportunity to hear again and to participate again in this communion time with the Lord. If, please, Jamie and John and Diane and John and James, Sam and Julie, So Lord, we ask this moment that you would bless this bread. Bless it to our understanding. Bless it to our deepened spiritual relationship. Father, bless it to our growth. And bless it to our spiritual nourishment. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Sam, please eat your memory, his sacrifice for you, his broken body, broken for you, and you serve your fellow health. O Lord, our Lord, the blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The blood of Jesus shed to reveal a new covenant. A new covenant that you make between man. A covenant of grace, O God. We come thanking you for Jesus and shedding his blood. Thanking you, Lord, that you love us enough to do that. To let him shed his blood. Thank you, Jesus, you were willing to die for us. Lord, we rejoice that death was not the end for you. It was only the transition to a new arena, a new level of life. We're not remembering that this morning. Praise in your name. Lord God, we thank you again. Praise be to you, O Lord most
high. We express thanks to God. Our offertory sense today is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The ushers, please come forward. We hear God's word, scripture lesson today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing wind of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors of Rome, Jews, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
The Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was actually last week. The youth had charge of the service, so I deferred my sermon on Pentecost or the Holy Spirit until today. So just assume that we were a week behind, or there's no rule that I know of that says that you can't preach on the Holy Spirit on the day after, of the Sunday after the day of Pentecost. Let me give you a bit of background. Background concerning Pentecost and the day of Pentecost. The Jewish community, from where we get our word Pentecost, celebrated the day of Pentecost 7 weeks after the Passover. And you remember the Passover? We celebrate it, or remember it, on that it happened, to the best of our understanding, though some argue this, it happened on the Thursday before Easter. We call it Maundy Thursday, because we gather for communion then at the mandate of Christ and celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And that is the day that the Jewish community still celebrates the Passover. Some Christian churches are trying to go back further in their history and are celebrating a Seder meal on that day. And we may get to that point someday. The celebration, 7 weeks after the Passover, was called the Feast of Weeks. It marked the giving of the law. Remember, as the Israelites were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, that when they got to Mount Sinai, that God called Moses upon the mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments. And there's not a one of us that hasn't seen that movie a number of times, right? It's one of those that we've seen it so many times, we know the dialogue by heart almost, right? So we've seen it. So, Pentecost was also a feast of first fruits. We've seen a lot of people in our community this week and last week, and we'll see them in the coming week, and maybe some out today, gathering in hay. That's a summer, or a spring. We're not even to summer yet, are we? That's a spring harvest. Many people are already enjoying the fruits of their labors in the garden. And I've had shared with me various products from the garden. The spring harvest. This was a spring harvest festival held in the spring for the spring harvest. And it was kind of like a spring Thanksgiving, I guess you could say. During this time, this was not just a secular celebration. It was a religious celebration. Part of the people coming to Jerusalem to offer thanks to God for the harvest. And also they wanted to come to Jerusalem to remember, to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai generations before. Multitudes of Jews came to Jerusalem for the Pentecost celebration. They came from all parts of the world to the feast. And what parts of the world am I talking about? Many of the countries are listed. You can read the places they came from. And Dickie, I'm glad you read that this morning. Thank you. You did well. And some people get into that and we get to stumbling and stammering, and it's almost worse than what? It sounds Greek to some of us. Well, some of it may be Greek, but some of it's from the Parthians. Anyhow, now, on the first Pentecost, as all of these people, were gathered from the known world, basically, or from a large surrounding area, on the first Pentecost following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the events in Acts 2 occur. The events that Dickie read about, and that hopefully you followed along. 50 days or 49 days after the resurrection, 10 days, we talked about the ascension 2 weeks ago, that it was 40 days after the resurrection, and 10 days after the ascension of Christ ascending to heaven, spoken of in Acts chapter 1, also in Luke, I believe it's chapter 24, we find this experience or this event in Jerusalem. Now, before the events of Acts 2, as we've already said, Pentecost was a day of a Jewish holiday remembering the giving of the law, and also a somewhat of a Thanksgiving celebration for a great spring harvest. Since then, since that day, and especially in the 20th and the 21st century, there is not much agreement concerning Pentecost. We can't even figure out what the word means. Or we can't agree. We all have our own idea. But there's much disagreement on what the word refers to. Fred Craddock is among preachers at least, a well-known writer and a great storyteller. And preachers like to read other preachers who tell stories good and like to listen to them. Even if we don't tell stories very well ourselves, like to read some of Fred Craddock's stories. He's a great theologian. He's a teacher, a seminary teacher. He's a preacher. And he tells a story that illustrates the difficulty we have in the Christian church of understanding or coming to some kind of an agreement on what are we talking about when we talk about Pentecost or the Pentecostal experience. And let me kind of stick pretty close to my notes here. Says that a few years ago, he was on the West Coast speaking at some theological seminary, a training ground for preachers. And the student body assembled for the lecture, and he went to the podium and started to speak. But before he could speak, before he gave even the first lecture, one of the students stood up and said, "Sir, before you speak, I need to know if you are Pentecostal." And the room grew very quiet. The rest of the students must have known this guy. It probably wasn't the first time that he challenged a speaker, huh? Craddock said that he looked around for the dean of the seminary, and like seminary deans, he was gone. He wasn't even going to listen to this renowned speaker and writer and professor speak, evidently, or he couldn't find him anyway. He couldn't find him anywhere in the audience. So the student continued with his quiz right in front of everybody. Craddock said that he was taken aback. He had a problem. He didn't know what to do. So he said, Do I belong to the Pentecostal church?" And the young man said, No. I mean, are you Pentecostal?" And Craddock replied to him, "Are you asking me if I'm a charismatic?" And the student said, "I am asking you if you are Pentecostal." And then Craddock said, "Do you want to know if I speak in tongues?" And the young man said, "I want to know if you are Pentecostal." And Craddock finally said, "I don't know what your question is." The student replied, "Obviously, you're not Pentecostal." So he left. He wasn't going to hear his lecture, or his speech, or his sermon if the speaker was not Pentecostal. Or maybe he was offended by them bringing such a guy there that didn't know what Pentecostal meant, at least in his mind. What does the word Pentecostal mean to you? When you hear the word Pentecostal, do you think of the Holy Rollers? And they got their name from being filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes they would roll around on the ground. Have you ever seen the Holy Roller exercise his or her gift or blessing or respond to the power of the Holy Spirit in that manner, where you could say with somebody, they're Holy Rollers? You ever seen this? Ever been to a service where this happened? You have. Larry has. Okay, the closest I've been is when they get filled with the Holy Spirit and get to dancing. And that's an interesting experience. Maybe others. Dancing, rolling around, that's the Holy Rollers. They'll roll around on the floor. If they're outside in the tent meeting, roll around on the ground, just wherever they are. What would a Pentecostal experience be for you? Well, I want us, for this morning at least, this is just one little bit of what a Pentecostal experience might be. But I want to look at verse 4, and I want to only look at the first portion of verse 4. the first portion of it. We might call it 4A. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then someone might ask, and you might ask, in a legitimate question, well, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And then there's a world of differences out there, or maybe even in here. What are you talking about, being filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not all that happened on the day of Pentecost, but that, to me, at least, is the central thought. That was the main event. And everything else was kind of built around that. Is that what you see also? Maybe so? That was the main event. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the central thought. Now, what is this Spirit? What are we talking about when we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit? King James called it the Holy Ghost. And when I used to hear about this, especially the Pentecostal people that I knew, get to talking about the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal who were members of a Pentecostal church, when they start talking about the Holy Ghost, I'd become a little suspicious and a little frightened. But the word ghost is the King James rendering of spirit. So you can say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whichever one you're comfortable with. What is this Spirit? Well, it's God's Spirit. I think the Scriptures play this out or affirm this. God's Spirit. It's also Jesus' Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus. His Spirit. God the Father, who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. God the Father, who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, on this day of Pentecost, as the people were gathered for this big celebration, God came, Jesus came, in the Spirit. And it was the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, God who is holy. I invite you to look at John chapter 14, verse 8. Through 17. John chapter 14, verse 8 through 17. And that is printed on your little handout, and you might want to take this and do your homework on that. We won't go through the details of it. We won't read it all. John 14, verse 8 through 17. I was careful to list all of these in your sermon outline as such, and we probably won't cover all of that today. And then in John 14, verse 25 through 27, Jesus, in union with the Father, Jesus, one with the Father, in union with the Father, promises that the Father, God the Father, will send the Spirit. And the Spirit, we read there, will teach us all things. And the Spirit will always abide, also abide with us always. He will not leave us comfortless. He will not leave us to fend for ourselves. He will not leave us without guidance. His guidance. He will not just send us off by ourselves. So, He will send the Spirit who will teach us all things and will be with us always. We also find that in the closing verse of the Gospel according to Matthew, the same message. And then in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse 26 and verse 27, and John chapter 16, verse 40, verse 4, in the last part of verse 4, we might call it 4B through 11, or if you want to go through 15, I believe it is. Here, in these verses, chapter 15 and 16, we find Jesus explaining what the Spirit will do for His followers, what a Pentecostal experience will be, what the Spirit will do for the followers. It is God with us. Jesus with us. In us. Over us. Around us. Filling us. Enveloping us. The Spirit of God. When the day of Pentecost came, all of them gathered. Now, all of what group? All of the 12? Or was it all of maybe all of the 120? But then those gathered in the audience, the Spirit gave them a miracle of hearing. They spoke the word, the message. They spoke in other tongues that they had not learned. A miracle of speaking, but a miracle of hearing. They were able to hear in their own language. The Holy Spirit filled them. What happened? There was speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit filled them. You could study years on that and get, do I want to exaggerate and say a million different views of what it means to speak in tongues and how important it is or how unimportant it is. You can prove both ways through the Bible. On that day, when the Holy Spirit came, they spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. On the day of Pentecost, we also see that there was preaching. There was speaking in a normal tongue. Speaking in an understandable tongue, or a tongue that they had learned. And to preach in this day that we're reading about in Acts 2, their scripture was the Old Testament. And when they wondered what was happening, were these people drunk or something else? Peter said, no, this is what the prophet Joel said. And quotes the prophet Joel and explains. There was expounding, as preachers call it, or explaining the word, or opening the word to the people, or making it hopefully simple to the people. There was preaching about Jesus. There was preaching about Jesus' ancestor David. Verse 37, we find that there was, it's not in your written passage there, printed passage, but in the chapter, if you go down to verse 37, there was conviction. The people came under conviction. And they began to say, we realize that we're not right with God. What shall we do? What shall we do? And then we find that in response to the Word, and out of their conviction, they came to believe. So there was belief. And there was baptisms. And some say that this was the birth of the church, of the New Testament church. It really got well established that day. And then you move on to verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. You find that there was a new kind of living. Their lives changed. The way they live changed dramatically. Pentecostal experience. What is a Pentecostal experience to you? Are you Pentecostal? Have you opened your life to the presence of the Holy Spirit? And what did you want from Him? Did you want salvation? Did you want just enough of the Holy Spirit to get you cleaned up of your sin and enough to let you into heaven? But as we read further, as I said, in the book of Acts, we see changed living. a new way of looking at our fellow man. A new way of relating to our fellow man. And a new way of relating to God. Pentecostal. Are you Pentecostal? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you. We thank you for the promises that Jesus made, and we thank you that we have the example of Him coming to fulfill that promise. And we have this experience or this event in Acts chapter 2. Lord, we thank you for Luke recording this for us. And we thank you for those who have preserved it through the years. And we thank you that we have this message of how you come to your people and you inspire, you empower, you convict. Father, you lead us to salvation and you provide that salvation from our sin. Lord, this morning we just rejoice in your blessings to us. And Lord, we just thank you that you will abide with us, that you will live in us, and that you will also envelop us, that you will teach us, that you will help us every day of our life to make it through life.